Good evening, church. Welcome to our bi-weekly devotional. We're thankful to be able to do this. We're thankful we have the technology. And thankful Brother Ken who comes and gets all this set up, ready to go for us. It's been a trying time, but we've seen a lot of positives during this time, and we're thankful for that. For a praise report for this week, we just remember God's on the throne. He's in control. We're one day closer to this all being over and us getting back to normal. And we're one day closer to Jesus coming back again, and we can praise Him for that. A wonderful message yesterday from Brother Brian, and again, we really miss getting to get together and celebrating with all the mothers of the church yesterday, but we're very thankful for our mothers. Personally, I'm thankful I got to at least see my mother yesterday. It's tough for them being in a facility where you can't go in and visit right now, and we're praying that'll be over soon, too. We have been informed that as of May the 15th, we can again begin to attend worship together. Of course, there's going to be some limits on that, and Brother Brian and the deacons will be meeting later on to discuss that and try to come up with guidelines where we can get as many people here as possible, but at the same time be very safe and mindful of everyone's health. It'd probably be closer to the end of May or 1st of June before we actually get started back again. This next Sunday, God willing and weather permits, we're going to have another drive-in service. So come on out, be with us, 11 a.m. Brother Brian said to bring your lawn chairs and sit outside if you wanted to. But again, you use your own judgment in that. As far as a personal praise report today. I got to see all my grandchildren yesterday and had lunch with three, and I was so blessed because two of the three wanted to ask the blessing for the meal yesterday, and they were so sweet and thankful that they have godly parents that are bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. In the matter of prayer needs this evening, we want to remember those that are lost or those who have backslid. Those who are having troubles in their marriages, those that are depressed. Please remember the Lynn Hensley family. Dan was a very dear friend of mine. We went to school, all through school together, and were neighbors and did a lot of things together as boys. And that family's been hit pretty hard. Please remember that family. The Eddie McMillan family, Nathaniel Wells, Faye Hill, Jimmy Lane, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith, Sister Priscilla Smith, and Danny Kay Smith, Peggy DeBoard, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Privett, Helen Bowen, Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith, Lisa Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, my parents, Bobby and June Jesse, and also please remember my in-laws, Fred and Wilma Bishop, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmen Shoup, Ryan Luke. Also continue to remember all of our government, our officials who's trying to come up with the best solution for this pandemic. Our health workers in our hospitals, nursing homes, and our first responders, EMS, fire, police. Remember our pastors and our managers of business who, job it is to try to get things open back up, but do it in a way that's safe for everyone. As of 5 p.m. today, the coronavirus number infected nationally was about 1.4 million people. Recovered was almost 218,000. They recorded just over 81,000 deaths. In the state of Virginia, there was 25,000 reported infected with 850 deaths. So, folks, this thing is still with us, still very real, and we just need to be as careful as we can. Please join me now in a word of prayer as we pray for these needs that we have. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given us and our many blessings. You've watched over us and provided for us and given us so much. And Father, we know that that the current situation is nothing new, that the world has seen many things like this come before, but you're in control, you're on your throne. If you don't let it happen, Father, you cause it to happen. We know that from reading the scriptures, that you control it all. And we're just thankful, Father, that you've given us an opportunity to be here this evening, to lift these people up that are on our prayer list, that are in need of a touch from you, Father, whether it be for healing, whether it be for strength or comfort, whatever the need, Father, we lift those to you and ask for your blessings upon our lives. Help us each and every one, Father, during this time to be more devoted to our Bible study and our prayer time, to speaking with you, Father, morning, noon, and night, and seeking your face, not just for ourselves, but on behalf of others, Father, as we lift those to you. Again, we ask you to heal our nation, save those that are lost. Father, keep us close to you. We thank you and praise you. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen. Again, announcements. Don't forget the drive-in service. And our prayer and devotion time will continue on Mondays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Brother Brian will be bringing a message on Wednesday nights until we get something more concrete as far as coming back together for worship time. Also, you can, if you're on Facebook, you can also check the Thomas Fitz Baptist Church Awana page. There's Tammy and Wayne try to keep some things active on that, with updates and activities for our children to do, so check that out. Also, we're still planning on Vacation Bible School. Tentative dates, June 22nd through the 25th. I don't know if that's been firmed up yet or not, but that's what we're looking at. If you have a need, don't hesitate to call the pastor or the deacons. We're ready, willing, and able to do whatever you need to do. If you need to pick up groceries, whatever we can do to help you, just give us a call and we'll see that gets done. Okay, for a Bible study tonight, I knew a week before Brother Brian asked me to come for the devotion tonight, what I was going to speak on, the Lord gave it to me. If we try to prepare something ourselves, it's not going to work very well. But if we let Him do the leading, He will show us what He wants us to look at. He'll show us what He wants us to say. The title of my lesson tonight is The Door. Now, doors are something that are very familiar to us right now, closed doors in particular. There's a lot of closed doors out there. I'm in very dire need of a haircut right now, but the doors to the barbershops have been closed. Movie theaters, nursing homes, places of business, the doors are shut until this pandemic is over. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about doors, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. The first door I want to look at is one that's talked about in the book of Exodus. During the time when Moses was directed by God to return to Egypt and lead his people out, and it's right before the very last plague. So that's Exodus 12, 21 through 23. He said, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go, select an animal from the flock according to your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Take a cluster of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and brush the lintel and the two doorposts with some of the blood in the basin. None of you may go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord passes through to strike Egypt and sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, he will pass over the door and not let the destroyer enter your houses to strike you.'" In that case, the door was very important, because if they were did what God told them to do, the death angel would pass over and not visit their house. Later on in Leviticus, God's given instructions to the priests and how they were to offer sacrifices. Their instructions was that in Leviticus 17:6, the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. It was not to be brought anywhere else, not to the one side or not to an outer portico. It was to be brought to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now I'm going to skip on to the New Testament. And this is Jesus telling a parable in Matthew about 10 virgins. He said in 25, 1 through 10, says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." In this, the 5 wise virgins represent Christians. Their oil represents the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the 5 foolish virgins represent those that are lost but who do not have the Holy Spirit, and they cannot receive the Holy Spirit from other Christians. They have to go to the Lord himself to receive that oil, that Holy Spirit. They must go to him to receive salvation. Skipping on down in Matthew 27, we're looking now at just after Jesus was crucified, talking about Joseph of Arimathea, in chapter 27, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. This door was meant to keep people out. And on Matthew 28, it said, "Then behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." The door that was open, that we might see that the tomb was empty. We find in John, Jesus talking about a door again. He says in chapter 10, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, the people understood what Jesus was talking about here, because the sheepfold was where the shepherd kept the sheep penned up at night. And there was only one way to get in and out. That was the door. And the shepherd became the door. He laid in the opening so that the sheep could not get out, and nothing else could get in. Then look what Jesus says later on in that same chapter, John 10. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture." Now, coming to the first scripture the Lord gave me in writing on this topic of the door. In Revelation 3, 7 through 8, he says, "Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and closes and no one opens, says, I know your works, because you have limited strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close." Reading further, we find these words to the church of Laodicea and verses 20 through 21. He said, "Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him, and he with me." The door. He says that he is the door. He's the door to the sheepfold, that no one can come in unless they come in by him. He opened the door so that we, the Gentiles, were able to be saved. We have our own personal doors in our lives that we open or shut. If we're a Christian, we're considered the same as one of the wise virgins who has the indwelling Holy Spirit. But I want to speak to my fellow Christians right now. I want to ask you this question. The doors that you may have closed in your life already, have you opened the door of your heart to evangelism? Are you witnessing for Jesus? Have you opened the door of your heart for personal Bible study? And for group Bible study? Sunday school is a very important part of a Christian's life. If you want to be a true disciple for Jesus Christ, you need to be involved in Bible study in a group setting. Have you opened the door of your heart for service in the church? We continually ask people to step forward to take part in one of the ministries in this church. There's plenty of opportunities to serve if you'll just be willing to open the door of your heart and do that. And have you opened the door of your heart to prayer? Not just for yourself, not just for your family, but for other people. People that you may not like, or people that you may even consider an enemy. Have you opened the door of your heart to them? And now, if you're watching and you're not a Christian, I can only ask you one question. Are you willing to wake up and open the door of your heart to Jesus Christ? He said he stands and knocks. There's a famous painting of Jesus standing at a door to knock. And if you'll notice, in the painting, there's no handle on the outside. There's no latch to open the door from the outside. Jesus won't beat the door down. He's asking you to open the door of your heart and let him come in. Once you open the door to your heart, Jesus becomes your door. He is the door to heaven. There's a line in one of my favorite songs that Chuck Odom sings. I first heard this many years ago when Mike Jenkins had an evangelical crusade here, and Chuck did the invitationals for him, and this song was one that was popularized by Steve Green and written by Greg Nelson and Phil McKee. The name of the song is "People Need the Lord." And I just want to read you the chorus. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yes, he's all that. And he could have also said, I am the door. Open the door and walk into heaven. God bless you. Good evening, church.